Hey babe, what's up?
Oh, not much. Just got done with the game. It was a lot of fun and we did a lot of awesome interviews, but I freaking forgot to get an insult intro with Kevin and Mike.
Oh.
Yeah.
I Okay, so why are you calling me?
Well, I mean, to see how you are, of course, but also to see if maybe you could help me out with the intro.
Oh, that's all you call me for. You call me to help you out with the intro, nothing else, not to see how my day was going, to see if I feel better, only for your amateur hour intro. Got it. Okay, well, it's gonna sound like I'm hanging up, but.
Welcome to Amateur Hour. This is part two of a four-part series on Lionsbridge FC. In this episode, we have an awesome interview with Kevin Joyce and Mike Vest, the co-founders of Lionsbridge FC. Tomorrow's episode will feature Defenders of the Bridge, a supporters group for Lionsbridge. And on Wednesday's episode, we'll have our interview with head coach Chris Wally and Ivan Militar, a player for the Lionsbridge FC. They're all really great interviews. I'm really excited to share all these with you guys. And there's not a particular order to them, so you can listen to them however you like. Just look for any episodes with the number 0030. I think this will be 0030.33. And if you want to check out a previous episode, it's a very sleepy podcast. So I apologize for the sound quality. But we just kind of talked briefly about the flow of the game and how the atmosphere was, along with just a few other things that are happening in our region as far as, standings and games went. But without further ado, here's Kevin and Mike. We are here with Mike Vest and Kevin Joyce, founders of Lionsbridge FC. Mike, we've had you on the show a few times, but Kevin, this is the first time we've ever spoken. I was wondering if you could give our listeners a little background on yourself and what made you want to help start a soccer team in the area.
Sure, yeah, it's really because of Mike. I got a phone call from Mike and said, hey, I really think some things I'm seeing around the country with Kingston Stockade, it really inspired him. And he said, I think we could do it here. And I said, I'm really skeptical. And I said, hey, let's go ahead and just take a look to see if the numbers work out. Everything, like, can it actually be done? Mm-hmm. And so we kind of did like a beta test, just around the community. Would people, we had reception parties. Mm-hmm. And we just kept putting these things on and people kept showing up. Like, there was an appetite for just soccer. Mm-hmm. And I think at one of the first couple parties, I was like, Mike, I think you're right. I think there is a soccer community here that just hasn't been formulated and put together. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the birth where I said, we need to put some weight behind this. Mm-hmm. So
do you yourself, did you play coach or anything like that?
Yeah, I played right bench a lot. that was in
deep right bench.
Yeah, deep right bench. Okay. They really needed someone
really
after everyone got hurt. Then I would come in. No, but I did play in high school. I played as a AYSO young, a long time ago in Las Vegas. That's where I grew up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm from the West Coast. But we're here, been here for a long time, not leaving, and this is just a great community.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so one thing we did want to touch base on that I'm particularly interested in with being a fan of a number of amateur clubs, and one of the hurdles, last year, in your first year, of course, you were one of the top teams in a crazy division, and also were very good in getting a high attendance and keeping that attendance consistently. One thing we're kind of curious on is, how do you take that momentum from a really good year when there's that lull with as short as the season is?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a good point because, I remember when we were heading into year one, the thing that everyone told us had been in the league is it's a really, really long off season.
Yeah.
And so it is a challenge, I think. The games tend to be those mile markers along the way that kind of, holds up the whole tent. Everyone kind of, they go to games. Well, the games stop for 9 months or more, almost 10. And so what we tried to do in the off season was continue to find ways to engage with fans, to build events that people would want to come to that didn't necessarily have to do with coming out to Pomoco Stadium. We let fans vote on the 2019 jersey designs, mm-hmm. same thing with the merchandise, and you know, had a big party with the supporters group at, you know, New Year's party. And so,
yeah.
you know, there's just lots of different ways. You know, I think one of the things that, that we kind of believed early on was that this couldn't just be about soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think of it that way, it's not as steep of a hill maybe when you go, well, what are we supposed to do now that we don't play any games? So the more we could just involve people in how we would set up the upcoming year. But you realize too that, you know, by the time you get to February, you're already starting to formulate a roster,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have player announcements and you can spread those things out a little bit too. And so, you know, but you definitely don't want to like peak too soon, you know, get to like October or November and be like, all right, now we still have only 6 months to go until
yeah,
until
there's
like
a Cadbury egg effect. You know, they only sell those at select times a year.
Right. Yeah.
So you actually get the more demand when there's less supply. And so there, I think there is some of that effect. And again, I don't know how that affects all clubs,
right.
But I think that's there can be a positive out of that.
Yeah. So would you say that what you try to do is kind of have like a breadcrumb effect where you have little pieces of
yeah.
information here and there? And then you mentioned some parties and some meetups and things like that. What do
yeah.
those look like?
Yeah, so, well, the year-end one last year was really driven by the supporters group, which was great. That was something that they wanted to organize. And, you know, we brought our coaching staff. Obviously, at that time of year, you don't have any players. But our coaching staff is great about digging deep into the community and wanting to be a part of it. Chris Welly actually plays in a rec league, on a rec league team with our supporters group, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Actually, technically, that's not true yet. He has signed a letter of intent to do so this fall, but his wife Alexis did in the spring, and she was a college soccer player. So, so that, you know, that became
they've got
part
some
of
ringers on their team.
Exactly,
yeah.
Well, which is weird because they still have a losing record, which I'll point out, and Alexis will not be happy about later. But that's okay. I'm sure Chris is going to come to the rescue. Just ask him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being involved and staying in touch with those. With those groups and making it kind of a year-round thing is, I mean, it started off, I think, as a philosophy, but now it's just something that we kind of just do.
Hmm. Another thing alongside that same mentality is it, because I believe we've taught that you were a little bit inspired by Asheville City and other
yeah.
local clubs as well.
For sure.
Or, well, local to us, maybe more so
yeah.
than y'all, but
yeah.
area
Eastern,
clubs.
Eastern time zone.
There we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But is it a situation where you've made contacts with those other clubs and you're like, how do we deal with this in the off season?
Yeah.
Or what other resources do you have available that you've used to make the most of that off season and prepare
yeah.
for a second year as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we pay really close attention to what teams are doing all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the one thing that you notice about lower league soccer is that it's always changing, and sometimes there's even more news in the off season than there is in season.
Yeah.
So, you know, we definitely followed what Asheville does, what Chattanooga does, what Kingston Stockade does. I mean, you could just go on and on with the different groups. And so, you know, I think everyone's always kind of borrowing ideas from each other in terms of what looks cool and what works. And
yeah.
and I think the other thing that we've talked about too is, you know, there will be some things that we try that don't work that we can just scrap. You know,
yeah.
the great thing about having two people involved in the day-to-day operation is that we can call each other and make a decision within 5 minutes. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't have to, like, you know, run it by a lot of people. We can kind of just call each other, and I can interrupt his day and be like, hey, Kev, what do you think about this? And he's like, yeah, no, kill it. Like, great, all right, we're done. So,
yeah.
So there's, you know, I think you just try to steal the best things that you see from other places. You know, it's been amazing watching what Chattanooga's done in particular with their ownership campaign and
yeah.
Some of
supporters
the things.
Supporters trust, is that?
Yeah, yeah. And so, and I think there's some particular legal things that are there in Tennessee that make that possible maybe, but,
really? Okay.
You know, I think the way that they've really, you know, gotten Doug, just, I remember listening to a podcast that they did about 2 years ago about somebody had asked them about, you know, how do you continue to grow? And they said, well, you keep digging down.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was brilliant. It was like, you know, we don't need to be the most famous soccer club in America, we need to be the most famous soccer club on the peninsula. Mm. You know, and if we're doing that, then we're going to be successful for a long time.
Yeah. Is there any other something I'm curious on too? And this may just be a straight no, and that's totally fine. But are there any types of fail safes or ways for the league in general to be like a bounce board to bounce ideas off of, or things like that for a club like you?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I think the league does a pretty good job. I know especially when we were going into the run up to, you know, even before we signed our paperwork with the league, I mean, Joel Nash at the league office did a great job of getting us in touch with some of the clubs around the country that had best practices in certain areas. So
okay.
We talked to Albuquerque.
Tormenta, right?
Yeah, we talked to Tormenta. Yeah. Talked to Darren early on, kind of just about, you know, the community aspect of things, which I think has definitely been one of their strong suits.
Yeah.
Among many strong suits. Albuquerque had done really well in sponsorship, and so they put us in touch with Albuquerque Soul. And we talked to Ron Patel about how they approach and organize that stuff, and how they handle their sponsorship inventory. And so, and there were a lot of different, a lot of those kinds of conversations. And then what's been kind of fun and gratifying now is that Joel will set us up with other people who are only about 2 years behind us. So that's
the other thing Mike's not telling you is that, you know, he has a long tenure in sports. So this isn't his first rodeo into sports. I know he can't say that. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's a, it's, The stronger the clubs are in the league, the stronger the league is. And so, you know, it's in our best interest to have, you know, obviously we don't play teams outside of our division or really outside of our region, but, you know, in particular, like we're playing Tobacco Road today. When Tobacco Road is really successful, that's great because we want to be able to play Tobacco Road for years to come. And same with NCFC, and obviously they're in a little bit different boat with the pro team, but same with Tri-Cities and same with Virginia Beach. I mean, it's all good for our division, and, you know, we hope that there's more teams that are going to follow in all of our footsteps, so that the league continue to grow. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that comes out of that that ultimately I think impacts us is that the more teams there are, the more the shorter our travel will become, and it's, that's good from a business standpoint, it's good from a rivalry standpoint, it's good from really kind of any way you look at it. So the better and more stronger teams we have in the league, definitely the better for Lionsbridge. So it's always in our interest to try to help push that along.
Cool. So is there, and this also might be, because it sounds like it's a little more flowing than just a season one, season two, but is there anything in particular that you guys have done here in season two to help you guys grow more that maybe either you didn't think about or is just a change from season one, on or off the field?
What stands out to you, Kev?
I know we did a good job of really accounting for what happened in season one, mm-hmm. which gives us better metrics. I still feel like we haven't had enough seasons to really pinpoint exactly what levers to push and what buttons to hit to say, this is definitively, once we hit this button, things go better.
Right.
What all the teams should be doing is really accounting for everything. Because what happens if you don't get metrics on things, there's no way to be able to help push anything forward. You don't know which lever to push.
Yeah,
so,
you don't want to be moving in seven different directions and figure out six of them didn't work 12 months down the road.
Correct. Yeah. And so I think part of that is we've become, I think, much more efficient, I think, in season two. Again, there's just, what you realize is there's just always
such a small sample size.
Such a small sample size and extraneous things that always happen in all these things that you can't control. So.
Okay, cool. That was just one off the top of my head. But the one thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, it's a fun thing y'all do before every game, about 2 hours before every game, y'all have a festival where y'all do fireworks, if I'm not mistaken. We've not been to it yet. We will be, but I see a bouncy house being blown up right now. And all kinds of family-friendly things. I was wondering, what specifically was the motivation behind making yourselves a more family-friendly atmosphere, and has that helped establish you guys in the community?
I think it's been essential. You know, I think when we were first conceptualizing what an event day would look like, we never imagined it to be just soccer. And I think the reason for that was we wanted to give a reason for absolutely anybody in the community to come out. if they love soccer, they're in the right place, right? We know that. But it could be, and I know it works in each of our families this way, that not everybody in our family loves soccer.
I understand that.
but what happens is, you know, we both got really young kids, and Kevin's youngest is 5 and my youngest is 6. Neither one of them are going to watch more than 5 minutes of this game tonight at all. But they will play in the bounce houses until we pull them out. And I think what happens when you bring a family out to the game, if somebody's not having a good time in that family of 4 or family of 5, it's like, all right, we're going home. What we've tried to do is make sure that coming to the game is not a hassle.
Right.
So the parking is free, the tickets are inexpensive, there's bounce houses, there's beer, there's wine, there's food trucks. And so we try to give a reason. And the other thing that we do is we're really, really intentional about saying our festival gates open at 5. Mm. And the game starts at 7.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
There's
a game after the festival.
Right. If you're already there at 5, you'll probably stay for the game at 7. So we try to really emphasize that part of it. And I think the other thing, and you guys will get a chance to see that tonight, is we have a pretty early arriving crowd. I know most of the time when you go to a game, if it starts at 7, you try to be there at about 6:55.
Yeah.
Be in your seat. And then, when it's over, you go. And here, our bleachers will be relatively empty until 7 o'clock because most people are down in the festival area, A, sitting in the shade, B, having a beverage, and what did I say, 3 or C? One of those two, getting something to eat. And so, if they've got little kids, they're probably playing in the bounce houses too. So, we wanted to make it as affordable as possible and as fun as possible for the whole family, figuring that gives us a chance to get whole families to come out instead of just mom or dad or the kids.
And that to me, it sounds at least like the potential could be, it's kind of a good way to have like a community type of situation before the game starts. Because, you're sitting in your bleachers, like we always sit in the same spots at our season ticket holders back home in Charlotte. But like we know the people immediately around us and a bit here and there, but that's kind of a way where you can interact with a different person every game.
Yeah.
And before you go to the match, and like you might meet like-minded people who love soccer, but also might have a family or that likes beer or wine.
Without a doubt, and I think one of the things that we've started to see is that people are starting to form their own relationships and friendships, and there's a community being built down in that festival area that I guess we provided a platform for, but it's not something that we're like hands-on managing.
Right.
So that part of it is really cool. And I think, and you guys will have a chance to talk to the guys in the supporters group. I think most of those guys did not really know each other prior to that.
Right. Yeah.
And so they've really kind of come together over this new team that's in the community. So that's really special to see. And that's the kind of the intangible benefits of having a team like this in your town. Where people are taking just an extra level of pride in where they live, and it's awesome to see.
Awesome. So, with all the success you've had on and off the field, people speculate about whether you guys might eventually want to move on to a different league. And I know you get asked this sort of thing, and I'm not going to ask you, are you going to do it? Because I'm pretty sure we talked about it last year too. But what I want to know is, what is it about League 2 that's the right place for Lions Bridge right now? And can you ever see yourself in the distant future maybe want to do League One or something similar to that?
Go tackle it?
Yeah, I don't know. There's just a lot of implications, I think. It's a multi-pronged problem that you'd have to really tackle.
Yeah.
I don't know if, everything has to go right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different forces that are not just us. We can't just hit a bunch of buttons and then say, hey, look, we're going to be in the next league. In League One, or Championship, but I think that we're kind of looking to other places like Chattanooga, other places that have had a really good run. To me, I think it's consistency from the club, it's being efficient as a club, just high level operations, right? That we're always thinking that way. We think that way continuously. Yeah, it may matriculate and happen.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't think we make decisions like that very lightly. But if we're going to do something, we do a lot of homework and making sure all things are T's are crossed and I's are dotted. So.
I think we're off to a great start. I think we haven't quite proven it to ourselves just yet,
right,
that we can make that leap, because there is a big change just from a scheduling standpoint that happens. Yeah. You know, will people come out in March and April? Will people come out in September and October? You know, in some ways you don't really know that until you try.
Mm.
But you know, I think we're off to a good start. I think we're following the path that other teams that are now in that league have taken. It's fair to say that we have an interest in it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of obstacles that are still in our way. You know, I think, you know, what we've been able to do in League Two, I don't know if you'd agree with saying this, you know, we've been able to do quite a bit of things at this level ourselves in terms of going out and getting just enough sponsors support to be able to make it work at this level. You'd have to do a lot more to be in League One.
Right.
We've been able by ourselves to this point to average a little less than 1,500 people per game. Mm-hmm. You need to average a lot more than that in League One.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a longer season. Mm-hmm. You know, CNU is an amazing partner. But we can't get into this facility that we're standing in right now until after graduation, which is in May.
Right.
Well, that doesn't work either from a scheduling standpoint.
Yeah.
So, you know, could we make future different arrangements with CNU going forward? Maybe. We've not had those conversations because I think that those are down the road conversations. But, you know, I think we definitely have an interest in it. But there's a lot of unanswered questions, I think, at this point that we just don't have. Like Kevin talked a few minutes ago about not having enough data yet.
Yeah.
Because this is our second season. This is our fourth home game this season. This is our 13th ever home game.
Right. Yeah.
So we're still new to the game, you know. I mean, I think, you know, we've got three new teams in our division this year, so it seems like in some ways, like we're now on the veteran side of things here in year two. But we're not. We're not veterans to putting this stuff on yet. So we feel good about what we've done so far, but I think there's a lot left for us to kind of prove to ourselves and maybe prove to other people that's something that could be done.
No, that makes perfect sense. And I mean, you don't want to, you know, jump before you really know what's going to be at that level. I mean, League One's a brand new league. As you said, you've played 13 home games. And something I thought was interesting you said earlier was about the Cadbury effect. You lose a bit of that when you're playing, you know, I don't know how many home games are in League One. Like, is it like 15, 14, something like that?
Maybe.
Something along
those lines. I know Championship is 17 and League One's a wee bit less.
I think it's 14 if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so I mean, that's double your home games at least, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, that's a lot more to deal with.
We do two extra usually. So far,
this
right?
year we'll have,
oh, yeah,
this
yeah,
year
yeah,
we'll
yeah,
have 10.
We always do some friendlies.
Yeah,
that's
right.
So we extend this a little bit, which...
Yeah. But it also really compresses the calendar.
Right, doesn't
make
it longer. It makes it
more funness for these 2 months.
Yeah, yeah. Really are putting 10 pounds of potatoes in 5 pounds.
More fun, funner, whatever.
Yeah.
But it sounds like what you're getting at, too, is you want to make sure that the foundation is set so that League 2 is sustainable and that you're doing right by the community with this club. Because, I mean, of course you want to learn how to walk and then run and other things like that, of course, whatever babies do. I don't know, children,
right,
so I don't really know. But
You're on the right track.
But yeah, I think that's, as much as League One may be an appealing league, and just to go up the ladder, because that's what you want to do. In some cases, I think it's admirable to see a club that wants to set a foundation and know, if this is what we're going to be, we're going to be the best club at this level.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all, to be honest with you.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really have any other questions for you guys. If there's anything y'all want to say or promote or what have you, I mean, it's a little late to promote the game tonight. Y'all want to talk about something for the rest of the season.
Well, I think, and I know Kevin would agree with this, we're just glad to have you guys here. This is a hike for you guys. So, you know, we know that you guys have come a long way. So I'm glad we've got good weather for you tonight.
Yes.
I hope we put on a good show and hopefully we'll have a good result on the field and hope you guys just have a great time at the game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I believe we will. We've been very excited to come up here. I mean, last year when we were, like, strictly Carolina-focused, we had to focus on y'all anyway because we were the only non-Carolina team in the South Atlantic.
Yeah.
And I'm glad because, you know, we got to learn more about y'all. Y'all seem like a lot of fun. And we're going to come up here, see it firsthand. So I can't wait for the game tonight.
Well, appreciate it. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.